From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Nearly 60 Palestinians were killed, hundreds more wounded Monday, in clashes along the Israel-Gaza frontier as the U.S. officially opened its embassy in Jerusalem, part of the 70th anniversary celebrations of Israel's founding. Tens of thousands of Palestinian protesters streamed to the border with Israel, with some using slingshots to hurl stones at Israeli troops, who responded with tear gas and, in some cases, live fire. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas denounced the violence as a massacre. He ordered the Palestinian flag lowered to half-mast, called for 3 days of mourning and a general strike. White House spokesman Raj Shah blamed Hamas for the violence.
The responsibility for these tragic deaths rests squarely with Hamas. Hamas is intentionally and cynically provoking this response. And as the Secretary of State said, Israel has the right to defend itself.
There was global outrage over Israel's use of lethal force, which occurred as the U.S. embassy was formally opened with a ceremony in Jerusalem. Among those on hand, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
What a glorious day. Remember this moment. This is history.
Palestinians who view East Jerusalem as the future capital of a Palestinian state denounced the move. Mr. Abbas referred to the embassy as an American settlement outpost. Libyan authorities Monday turned over to Egypt the bodies of 20 Egyptian Coptic Christian workers beheaded by Islamic State on a beach near their one-time stronghold of Sirte in February 2015. Egypt's Coptic Christian leader, Pope Tewodros II, was on hand to receive the remains from a Libyan cargo craft. The bodies were recovered last October after the IS-controlled area around Sirte had been captured. This is VOA News. With nearly all votes counted, it appears supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr are the big winners following Sunday's parliamentary election in Iraq. Iranian-backed Shia militia chief Hadi al-Amiri's bloc came in second, followed by incumbent Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. Washington Institute for Near East Policy Distinguished Fellow and former Ambassador James Jeffrey said it was not a good outcome for either Iran or the U.S.
It wasn't a great day for Iran because they had two primary candidates, Maliki and, again, Hadi al-Amri. Between them got roughly 69 votes. The problem is it wasn't a great day for America because Abadi, who America was quietly supporting, came in third. And so there's no way that you can form a clear-cut pro-American coalition.
Jeffrey said a lot of coalition building will get underway, and it is possible Mr. Abadi may wind up as the consensus prime minister. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo sought cooperation from Germany, France, and Britain Monday in phone conversations over the way forward now that the U.S. has withdrawn from the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement, a move they oppose. A State Department spokesperson said Pompeo underlined the U.S. and its allies share strong interests in preventing Iran from developing a nuclear weapon and countering Tehran's destabilizing activities in the region. The parliament of the Spanish region Catalonia Monday voted in a new separatist leader who's promised to continue to work toward independence from Spain. Quim Torra was narrowly approved by just one vote, with four lawmakers abstaining.
El nostre president és Carles Puigdemont.
He said Carles Puigdemont, the former president who is in self-imposed exile in Germany and fought the extradition, is our president. He also pledged to remain faithful to the October 1st independence referendum, a move that prompted Madrid to impose direct rule. Sudan Monday named seven new ministers, part of a cabinet reshuffling that affected the oil portfolio and the foreign ministry. The country is grappling with an economic downturn and currency crisis, even after winning sanctions relief from the U.S. 48-year-old U.S. First Lady Melania Trump underwent a surgical procedure to treat a benign kidney condition Monday and will likely remain at the Walter Reed Military Hospital for the rest of the week. A spokesperson said the procedure was successful and there were no complications. President Donald Trump visited his wife of 13 years later in the day. U.S. stocks managed modest gains in Monday trading, with the benchmark Dow Jones gaining nearly 70 points to 24,899. Investors appear buoyed by news that President Trump is trying to ease trade tensions with China by seeking some sort of relief for sanctioned Chinese telecom giant ZTE Corporation. A top Chinese trade envoy will visit the U.S. this week to try to resolve a dispute over the trade imbalance between the world's two top economies. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.